بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وبارك على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا، أما بعد، فحياكم الله جميعا وبارك الله فيكم. الحمد لله. Today, just in this short discussion, short reminder, I wish to mention to yourselves, to remind myself, Aslan first and foremost, about the importance of the Quran within this month of Ramadan. Which Allah Ta'ala, He mentions شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. The month of Ramadan in which the Quran was revealed. Likewise, the statement of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, إِنَّا عَنْزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ. Indeed, we revealed it on لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ. And so, with this we understand that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would strive in his actions in the month of Ramadan. And as individuals and as ibad that seek to be from those that have iqtida bi sunnat al-Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, we take him as an example and we strive to follow him and his sunnah. Then no doubt within this month of Ramadan, we should be from those that strive to perform righteous actions. From those actions that he did within this month was the recitation of the Quran and the revision of the Quran with Jibreel. And the Prophet ﷺ would revise the Quran with Jibreel alayhi salam. And so no doubt we understand that the Quran itself carries great virtue. Great virtue for the one that gives it its time. And this is umum, this is general. This is general, the case. And so, no doubt the month of Ramadan is no different. Rather, the month of Ramadan is even more so. From the narrations that we know in relation to the Quran, or where we have mentioned the Quran, is hadith of Tamim al-Dari, radiallahu anhu, when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions that deen al-nasiha thalathan. He mentions that the religion is sincere advice. And with the sincere advice, he mentions alayhi salatu wa salam, wa nasiha lillahi, wa li kitabi li rusli, wa la imtu muslimi wa amatihim. Nasiha, sincere advice in relation to Allah, his book, his messages, the leaders of the Muslims amongst the Muslims, and the general people from amongst them. The scholars from Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah, they mention that nasiha lil kitab, sincere advice lil kitab, no doubt is from our deen. For indeed, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sabaha bid-deen, yani he referred to this nasiha, this sincere advice, as deen itself. And so as for the sincere advice in relation to the Book of Allah, then essentially, this is sincere advice where the individual, he has the correct creed in relation to the Book of Allah. So he holds that the Book of Allah, the Quran, is the Kalam of Allah, غير مخلوق. It's a speech of Allah that's not created. So he does not say that the Quran is created. Nor does he say that by recitation of the Quran is created. But rather, he adheres to the i'tiqad of Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah in relation to the Book of Allah, that the Quran is the Kalam of Allah, the speech of Allah, and it's not created. Likewise, for the one that has a nasiha lil kitab, that when he recites from the Book of Allah, he gives the ayat and the huruf and the harakat It's due right. He recites the book of Tajweed. Wa Tartil. He recites that which he's able to. From the book of Allah. Giving everything is due right. Everything is haq. In his recitation. This is Nasiha al-Kitab. Likewise, on Nasiha al-Kitab. Is that the individual. When reciting from the book of Allah. He ponders upon the ayat. He ponders upon the meanings that are found within these ayat. He's an individual that ponders and reflects upon the ibr, the lessons that can be taken. And when he recites those ayat, referring to the nations that came before, and what befell these nations that came before, he recites those ayat and reflects upon the meanings and lessons that can be taken from them. He reflects upon the ahkam within the ayat. He reflects upon the rulings that are found within the Quran, where Allah Ta'ala establishes the halal and establishes the haram. Likewise, he reads from the tafsir of the Quran. All of this is nasiha al-kitab. He reads from the tafsir of the Quran. And within the recitation of the tafsir, no doubt he seeks to understand the meaning of these ayat. And he seeks to understand, for example, affairs in relation to the asbab and nuzul. The reasons why these ayat have been revealed. And this is something which is general. And in our lives as ibad, as servants of Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala, upon us to have that sincere advice in relation to the book of Allah, and adhere to, in relation to the fadl of Quran. You have the hadith of Abi Umama radiallahu anhu, قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول اقرأوا القرآن فإنه يأتي يوم القيامة شفيعا لأصحابه. And so you have the narration of Abi Umama, where he mentions the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he states, read and recite from the Quran. For indeed it will come by the Quran, Yawm al-Qiyamah, and intercedes for its people. Likewise, the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he mentions in the hadith found in Sahih Muslim, where he states, in the hadith of Nawas ibn Sam'an, where Nawas states, Sami'tu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yuqul, Yuta yawm al-qiyam bil-Qur'an wa ahli, alladhina kanu ya'maluna bihi, fi dunya taqdumuhu surat al-Baqara, wa ali Imran tuhajjani an sahibihima. And this hadith is found, as mentioned in Sahih Muslim, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he states that Yawm al-Qiyamah, the Quran and his people are brought forth. I know that acted upon it in the dunya. And thus, Surah Al-Baqarah and Ali Imran comes forth and bears witness for the people of them, of those surahs, the individuals that not only recited from these surahs, but acted upon them. And likewise, you have the hadith of Uthman ibn Affan, radiallahu anhu, where he states, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم خيركم من تعلم القرآن وعلمه. The best of you, and the best of amongst the Muslims, are you who learn the Quran and teach it. And so these are examples of the virtue of the Quran. However, you understand, no doubt, barakallahu fikum, that the individual that attains that virtue related to the book of Allah is the one, first of all, that learns from it. He recites from the Book of Allah. But not only that, it's not mere recitation. That does not surpass the throat. As is mentioned in the affair of the Khawarij. That their recitation of the Quran will not penetrate the heart. It will not have an effect upon the heart. They recite the Quran. And you would look down upon your recitation in comparison to theirs. However, the reality of these individuals is that their recitation of the Quran did not penetrate the heart. It did not prevent them from their bid'ah, from their innovation. This group of individuals that fought against companions whilst they recited for the Book of Allah. So we understand, no doubt, that recitation of the Book of Allah, recitation of the Quran, carries great virtue. However, that virtue is reserved for the one that acts upon it. As is mentioned in that first narration, that the Quran will intercede for its people. And the Quran will intercede for its people. And you cannot be for the people of the Quran except that you act upon it. As the message of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions the Quran, hujjatan lak aw alayk, that the Quran will be a proof for you or against you. The Book of Allah will mention or be a proof for you or a proof against you. The Quran will be a proof for you or a proof against you. A proof for you, of course, as you mentioned, you're an individual, you recite from these ayat and you act upon them. A proof against you, if you're the one that merely recites the words upon the tongue. However, when it comes to action, you do not act upon it. So you have knowledge of it. Could you recite these ayat? You have knowledge of it. However, you do not act upon it. And no doubt, this is the evil existence to have. The one that has ilm, بغير عمل. Allah Ta'ala referred to them as the maghdubi alayhim. Those that have earned the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because they are individuals, they have knowledge, they possess the knowledge, but they did not act upon that knowledge that they possessed. And so, again, as is mentioned in relation to Yawm al-Qiyamah, the Quran is brought forth and its people. And when the message of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions Ayah Surah Al-Baqarah and Surah Al-Imran, proof that there's individual surahs that will bear witness for the individual, for the ibad. And these ayat found in these surahs will bear witness for the individual because the person acted upon those ayat. This is something which is umum, but this is something which is general in relation to that. And so, no doubt the person must be aware of what is upon him and what are his obligations. And that this month of Ramadan is an opportunity. This month of Ramadan is an opportunity to increase one's righteous actions in general. This month where the individual seeks to increase upon the taqwa of Allah. To be muttaqi. The person seeks to be from those that adhere to taqwa by way of his fast. The person that seeks the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by way of his qiyam, by way of his standing in the night of Ramadan. And then no doubt, you have the individual that takes advantage of that month. And he takes advantage of that month by way of his recitation, and other than that, by way of his righteous actions, by way of his sadaqah. And so now, when it comes to this affair, this month of Ramadan, then no doubt, the individual should strive to increase in those upon those actions as well. And it's mentioned in relation to this month of Ramadan, Ibn Abd al-Hakam, he mentions, كَانَ مَالِكَ إِذَا دَخَرَ الرَّمَضَانَ نَفَرَ مِنْ كِرَاءَةِ الْحَدِيثِ وَمَجَازَةِ أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ وَأَقْبَلَ عَلَىٰ تِلَاوَةِ الْقُرْآنِ مِنَ الْمُصْحَفِ. And so he mentions that if the month of Ramadan began, Imam Malik, when the month of Ramadan began, then he would leave the reading of hadith and the gatherings of knowledge and engage himself in the recitation of Quran for the Mus'haf. Likewise, Abdul Razak, he mentions, Abdul Razak referred to who? Does anyone know? Abdul Razak. If they mention Abdul Razak, just Abdul Razak. Referred to Abdul Razak As-Sanani. Yeah, when he mentioned just Abdul Razak. Abdul Razak says, he stated, Sufyan al-Thawri, إذا دخل الرمضان ترك جميع العبادة وأقبل على تلاوة القرآن. That Sufyan al-Thawri, when he came, when he entered the month of Ramadan, he would leave off these actions of ibadah and engage in the tilawat of Quran. This is mentioned by Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah, in relation to how the individual is with the Quran in the month of Ramadan. Likewise, Ibn Rajab, he mentions that Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah, within the month of Ramadan, that he would seek to conclude the recitation of the Quran every day. I conclude the recitation of the Quran every day. Whilst it's mentioned in relation to Qatada, the Mufassirin, that Qatada, rahimahullah, outside of Ramadan, he will conclude the recitation of the Quran every 7 days. Whilst within the month of Ramadan, he would conclude the recitation of the Quran every 3 days. As this is something where we understand from the actions of the Salaf and how they were when it came to the recitation of the Quran and how the relationship was with the Book of Allah, no doubt they sought to be from those individuals that when it came to the recitation, they would leave the other actions. And no doubt these actions are noble actions. For example, the recitation of hadith. I had the first narration you mentioned about Imam Malik. Imam Malik would leave these gatherings. And Imam Malik, rahimahullah, in relation to these gatherings of hadith, he will regard them as being for the most important of gatherings. As he mentions, rahimahullah, that if he'd go to a gathering of hadith, he'd wear his best clothing. He'd purify himself. He had to make wudu. And wear his best garment, wear his best perfumes to gather, to recite, and to read from the hadith of the Messenger of Allah, and read from the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And even with all of that, the nobility of those actions and the ability found within the reading of those ahadith, he, rahimahullah, would leave that in the month of Ramadan in order to focus on the recitation of the Quran. For indeed, he wanted to increase in that benefit. And no doubt, this is iqtida'an bi sunnati Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As we mentioned, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would revise Quran with Jibreel. I specified this month for Ramadan. Revise the Quran with Jibreel, alayhi salam. And so the Salaf, as we understand, the Salaf, when it came to their clinging to the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and following the Sunnah, the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that they were the utmost in that, and the best in the understanding of that. And so for upon us, really, as individuals, is to have that, as mentioned at the beginning, that nasiha, l-kitab, that sincere advice written in the Book of Allah. Recite from the Book of Allah, give the Book of Allah its due rights, read from the tafsir, understand these ayat, take from the lessons found within it. Well, indeed, if the person does all of that, then he can take much good within that. He can take much benefit within that. And then along with that, of course, because this is the action of ibadah, and because this is the month of Ramadan, the month of blessing, the month of rahmah, and Salaf referred to it as the month of the Quran, this will increase him in the ibadah and ajr. So the person, no doubt, he should reflect upon this with the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. First and foremost, his actions in this month, and reflect upon how the Salaf al-Salih were when it came to the recitation of the Quran. And not be from those that neglect it in their lives generally, and even more so in this month of Ramadan. As Sheikh Fawzan, hafidhullah, he mentions that the one that does not conclude the recitation of the Quran within the month, then he has forsaken it, he's neglected it. How many individuals can say in honesty that they have concluded the recitation of the Quran within the month? Just generally, any month, any given month. Then they recite from the Book of Allah, they begin in that month and they end that recitation of the Quran in that month. And so if we reflect upon our own selves and we see that ourselves, we have some negligence in that regard. And now we are in the month of Ramadan and the month of the Quran. Then we should take this opportunity to acquaint ourselves with the Book of Allah. Take this opportunity to be from those individuals that recite from the Quran. And not only recite from it, as we mentioned, the fadl is not just in reciting from it. And reciting, for example, concluding it within the month, or concluding it within a few days. The fadl is not just in that. But the fadl, the virtue, is found when that person acts upon it. And when the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions, خَيْرَكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَهُ. The best of you are those that learn the Quran and then teach it. Then no doubt, here he's referring to the virtue of not only the one that learns it, but then he acts upon it and then teaches it. When he mentions, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he wa'allamahu, and he teaches it, teaches the Quran. A person cannot teach it except that he acts upon it. And these two things are mutalazima. These two things go hand in hand. These two things have one following the other. You can't have one without the other. A person cannot now say that he teaches, but he doesn't act upon it. And the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, mentioned that these are the best of the people. The best of the people, those that learn the Quran. And though, and thus act upon it. And by way of acting upon it as well, thereafter, teach it. This is how a person really truly benefits himself in relation to the Quran. And so a person, as we mentioned, a person reflects upon their reality. Am I one that gives the Quran its due rights? Am I one that is well acquainted with the Book of Allah? Am I that individual that forsakes the Quran? And he takes his opportunity in this month of Ramadan to make that change. To be from the one that's acquainted with the recitation of the Book of Allah regularly. And likewise as well, to be for the one that adheres to acting upon it. And acting upon it upon when it comes to the righteous actions. With that, we'll conclude this short kalima. Barakallahu feekum. Wa jazakum ala khaira. صلى الله وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى اله وصحبه وسلم تفضل
يشترط الوضوء شرط القران
قراءة القرآن. الذي يظهر يعني في قراءة القرآن لا. أما مسح المصحف فهذا شرط.
قراءة يعني
كاستذكار
عن ظهر القلب يعني.
فإذا مثلا إذا يتلو القرآن من ظهر القلب نعم بالحفظ.
وإذا كان من مثلا الجهاز محمول يعني.
لا لأن هذا ما يقتدي المصحف. وهذا ما يعني المصحف.
يعني
لأن هذا الجوال.
لا يخفق المصحف.
لا ما يعتبر مصحفا. والله أعلم. لأن هذا قد يجتمع فيه أشياء كثيرة.
صحيح.
تجتمع فيها أشياء كثيرة.
وليس كتاب.
نعم وليس كتاب. أما المصحف بالذات يعني الذي يظهر يعني وأحسن أن يكون على هيئة الوضوء.
أحيانا قضية مثلا الواحد ما يتمكنش من الوضوء أثناء العمل ولا شيء يحصل مثلا ساعة من ساعة يقرأ فيها القرآن لكن يكونش على الوضوء يعني. هو الشرط الأساس الطهارة.
يعني العمل على المسألة أصلاً في خلاف.
في خلاف.
في خلاف في المسألة. يعني بالنسبة المصحف بس المصحف يعني هل يشترط فيه الوضوء ولا لا؟ نعم. فأنا على الوجه الاحتياط أقول يعني أحسن له يتودي. أيوة أحسن. لكن بالنسبة للقراءة فلا يشترط الوضوء. لا يشترط الوضوء بالنسبة للقراءة القرآن. مثلا يقرأ بالحفظ.
ولا تعامل
مسخة
المصحف اللي في الجوال على أنها مصحف يعني.
لا ما يعتبر مصحف هذا والله والله أعلم.
جزاك
الله خير. بارك الله فيك. Question the brother asked about is it a condition for a person to recite Quran that they have wudu. And Allah Ta'ala has mentioned the issue itself has ikhtilaf, the difference of opinion in the issue. And I say, and I watch ihtiyat to be just to be on the to do that which is Allah Ta'ala's best, better and safer. You should have wudu when reciting from the Book of Allah or when holding the Mus'haf. However, when it comes to the recitation, for example, the person reciting from their memory, then it's not a condition that they have wudu when doing so. However, the discussion and the mas'ala, the issue is revolving around touching the mus'haf. And Allah Ta'ala knows best. As for, the brother also asked about the telephone, and now you have apps where you have, for example, the mus'haf within the telephone. Is this regarded as being the mus'haf? And Allah Ta'ala knows best, but this is not, you wouldn't regard this as being the mus'haf. Why? Because this is just a device that has many different things within it. Now, it has the telephone or whatever else, the YouTube or Madrash. So, because of that, you wouldn't say now that this is a Mus'haf, even though it has that app within it. Allah Ta'ala knows best. No. Question asked, if a person wakes up in the state of janaba after the adhan al-fajr, is their fast valid? And that which is correct is that the person's fast is still valid. So if the person is in the state of janaba and they've intended to fast, now but then they wake up after يعني, the adhan al-fajr, then the fast is valid. The fast is valid. Why? Because what breaks the fast isn't the state of janaba. The state of janaba doesn't break the fast. However, the sexual relations or the ejaculation, that's what breaks the fast. So if that occurs after the fajr, of course, then that breaks the fast. However, if that occurred before the fajr, now, and thus the person enters the state of janaba, then it cannot now be said it breaks the fast because it occurred before the fajr. And Allah Ta'ala knows best. Person mentions here, if the person is in a state of janaba and they accidentally recite Quran, is this a sin and should they make tawbah? Yeah, there's no doubt it's not permissible the person to recite whilst in the state of janabah. However, if a person does so forgetfully, or they do so due to some error from their own selves, then it is hoped that inshallah this is something which is not blameworthy upon them, quite because it's due to forgetfulness or error. And as Allah Ta'ala mentions, رَبَّنَا لَا تَعَاقِدْنَا إِلَّا نَسِينَا أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا, that O our Lord, do not take us into account, or take us into account if we forget or we fall into error. But no doubt the person should be mindful of the state that they're in, mindful of the state of janabah, and not be one that Allah Ta'ala knows best is heedless in that regard. The question asks, what is the best method of memorizing the Quran? Should we start from the back or the easiest ones? I'm guessing the question is asked about the back or the easiest ones, but then the back would be the easiest ones, regardless of the easiest ones, because they're shorter. There's no set way to say that. Everyone's different. Everyone's different in terms of their talib, their seeking of knowledge and their memorization. So there's no set way to say, okay, this is how you should memorize Quran. However, what you do find that a lot of people do, and they find quite a lot of success with it, and Allah Ta'ala's best, is that they will begin with Juz Amma. And they begin with Juz Amma, why? Because the surahs are shorter, and it allows them to equate themselves and get used to memorization of Quran. Thereafter, they may go on to Juz Tabarak, the Juz which precedes Juz Amma, or they may go to the beginning of the Quran, from Baqarah, Surah Baqarah. And Either is fine. It's dependent upon the individual and what they find easier. Sometimes the person, whilst they have finished Juz Amma, they find that they are well aware and they've heard so many of the ayat in Surah Baqarah before, whether it be in the salah, or whether it be in lessons, or whether they be just listening to Quran, that when it comes to the point of memorization, they find ease in that. They find ease when it comes to memorization of Surah Al-Baqarah and the surahs that are at the beginning of the Mus'haf. Allah Ta'ala knows best. And then the surah that come after, which may be regarded as being somewhat more difficult to memorize, and some people regard it being more difficult to memorize. This is all, again, sometimes based on opinion and perception, and it can be regarded as being something which is subjective. But then because now they've got used to memorizing these surahs before, Ayat Baqarah and Ali Imran, then they can go on to the surahs, for example, Nisa and Ma'idah, which some individuals regard as being more challenging in terms of memorization. Allah Ta'ala knows best. But as we mentioned, you can't say that now that there's a particular set way to memorize the Quran. What we would say though is that the person finds a manner in which they do so, and they're consistent with it, and that the individual, when it comes to the memorization, they pick a time which they can be consistent. Most people, that time is after Salat al-Fajr. It can be any time, depending upon your schedule, upon your day. You pick a time which you can remain consistent. And also you remain consistent upon the revision. As a lot of people mention, that the memorization, when it comes to actual memorization of Quran, they find ease with it. However, the challenge is when it comes to revision of that of what you've memorized previously, and maintaining that which you've revised previously. Allah Ta'ala knows best. Let's read this one finally. Is there a particular virtue with Surah Yasin? As in my home, they have it separately in a booklet. And now, so you find this. So that in a lot of the homes, you have Surah Yasin maybe hung up on in a frame, or the beginning ayat of Surah Yasin hung up on a frame, or they have the surah separately to be recited. And the reality is that it's not mentioned that of particular virtue. There's a narration that people use, which is a da'if narration, referring to the surah being from the qalb, the Qur'an. And they mention that this is the virtue that is found within it. But Allah Ta'ala knows best. But what that which is understood is that where there's particular virtues found, for example, with Surah Al-Baqarah or Ayatul Kursi or the three quls, and these ayat, or the particular ayat which are used for ruqya specifically, then this is where we understand there to be virtue. But specifying, for example, Surah Yasin, then no, this is not the case. And Allah Ta'ala knows best. Wa jazakum la khaira. Wa barakallahu feekum. We conclude with that, inshaAllah Ta'ala. جزاكم الله خيرا وبارك الله فيك وصلى الله وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.